after months of campaigning, it feels like weeks of hearing that fight song.
Fight song. It is a fight, isn't it?
We're down to a small number of people who will be voting in a pretty small state, but it's still, you know, a significant election. If you listen to the
first
candidates,
the
though, Iowa either means everything or nothing at all. I mean, it's either all or nothing, right?
It depends.
It means
if you're
so little to Huntsman, he's not campaigning there.
Depends if you're poised to do well, means everything. If you're poised to do poorly, doesn't mean a thing.
It doesn't mean anything. All right, joining us this morning, Stefan Schmidt, professor of political science at Iowa State University and a contributor to WNYC's political blog, itsafreecountry.org. Stefan, good morning.
Good morning.
What is the truth here, Stefan? Does Iowa mean nothing or everything?
Well, Iowa is the first place where this whole war to get a nomination and then become president begins. And so it certainly means a lot, and you can ask Barack Obama about that. And you can ask Jimmy Carter as well. President Carter would be Jimmy who if it hadn't been for the Iowa caucuses and his victory here. So some years it is spectacular, and other years it's a yawn. So I think this year it's going to be very important.
All right. Well, we want to check back in with Carrie Yeck, an Iowa voter and senior pastor at New Hope Christian Church in Marshalltown, Iowa. Carrie, good morning.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It's nice to have you back. I want to play a comment that you made when we spoke to you last week. You said you were leaning, at that point, you were leaning towards Newt, but hadn't made up your mind.
I'm leaning towards Newt, but I haven't made the absolute commitment that that's the person I'm going to vote for.
So have you made up your mind at this point?
I have, as of about 2 days ago.
And?
I'm gonna caucus for Newt Gingrich.
And explain to me the decision making process for you. How did you land with Newt?
Well, it seems to me that we've gone a bad direction in the last 4 years or 3 years, I should say. And he just seems like the guy most qualified with his experience there as a House Speaker and in the House to lead us back in the direction that we should go.
You're okay with married three times, Carrie?
I am. I believe in forgiveness.
Okay.
I think he's demonstrated a genuine repentance and making an effort to really work on his marriage with Calista this time. I should say, though, having said that, that I live in a house divided. My wife is going to caucus for Rick Santorum, so we have both of their signs out in the front yard.
Is that because of the infidelity issues?
No, I don't think so. I think that my number two choice would be Rick Santorum, and her number two choice would be Newt Gingrich. So we're kind of pretty much close on the same page, but just a little bit divided.
That's Carrie Yeck, Iowa voter, senior pastor at New Hope Christian Church. Let me go back to you, Stefan Schmidt, a professor at Iowa State University. How are voters shaking out in Iowa? I mean, what's the most important issues? Is it these issues of morality? Is it the issues of where they stand in the economy? How are they making their decisions?
Well, if you look at the field of contenders that is sort of up at the top, you'll find that there's a mix. I mean, Rick Santorum clearly is very much the sort of conservative, Christian, family values candidate in this race, and he has risen partly because of that. I think some of the family values voters are gravitating towards him more. On the other hand, you also see economic conservatives and those who are really concerned about jobs and the economy and management experience drifting more and more over towards Mitt Romney. I mean, Mitt Romney has been steady because he has the experience in managing a private business, in being the governor of a state. And so I think this year the reason this has been such a volatile roller coaster is because Iowa Republicans are truly divided, just the way the pastor is about, you know, where to put their vote. Should they put it on pragmatic, kind of a pragmatic vote to say who is the most electable? Now, I would say that Newt Gingrich, given what's happened to him in the polls, may not really be the most electable. So there you get something like how well he's performed in the debates, what a brilliant person he is when you meet him personally, and so there are numerous different decision points that are going into the caucuses this year that has made it such a complex and really very, very interesting caucus season.
Well, I want you both to take a listen to this comment. This was Russ Reichen in Sioux City, Iowa, speaking to Anna Sale. Anna is a reporter for a co-producer, WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org, and he was speaking to her yesterday.
I'm for Rick Perry today, and somebody else yesterday, and somebody else the day before. I mean, I don't know if I'll make up my mind today or it might be at the last minute.
Carrie Yak, maybe you can explain this to us. Why is Iowa still so undecided on the very day of the caucus?
Well, I think that the Des Moines Register's poll indicated 41% are still undecided. And I have a theory about that. I'm not a political expert, but it seems to me that Mitt Romney's vote has been consistent the entire time. It seems to me that Ron Paul's support has been consistent the whole time. I really think that probably the 41% are going to divide out tonight between Bachman, Perry, Gingrich, and Santorum. And I think that's where their undecisiveness comes, because they see four candidates that they like. And I don't see Romney and Paul's support increasing that much tonight from what the polls have indicated. That's just my opinion.
Well, Stefan Schmidt, let's get your opinion then as well. Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University. How do you think the caucus will shake out tonight?
Well, I think Carrie is a brilliant political analyst in addition to being a pastor.
There you go, Carrie.
I'm given an A on that analysis, because I really do think that there is this let's call it sort of even uncertainty about who to vote for. And, you know, the interesting thing is that primaries are really not that different. I mean, when people go to vote in primaries, we know from exit polls that they very often go in and they said they were going to vote for A and they vote for B, or they go in and sometimes they vote because they like the name of a person who's on the ballot. So I think we're making too much of the fact that Iowa voters are undecided, because a lot of individuals, when they vote, and in a democracy, especially when you have a lot of choice, which is wonderful, you very often go in and you say, well, this one is pretty good, but this one is pretty good too, and you know, and you kind of vote more on the impulse of where your finger is going to push or your pen.
Stefan Schmidt is a professor of political science at Iowa State University and contributes to WNYC's political blog, itsafreecountry.org, and Carrie Yak, a senior pastor at New Hope Christian Church.
All right, we are in Iowa for the caucuses, and we've still got Stefan Schmidt, professor of political science at Iowa State University, and blogger for our co-producer WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org. So, Stefan, people get confused by the Iowa caucuses. I'm a political reporter myself, and I'm confused by them, because this is not a primary. This is not going into a booth and closing the curtain and pulling a lever, or going to the Diebold electronic voting machine to cast your vote. So give us a little bit of 101, if you would, on what happens tonight at 7 p.m. Iowa time.
Absolutely. And you said 7 p.m. That's the key to understanding the caucuses. In primaries, there is no 7 p.m. In primaries, you know, the polling places open up sometime in the morning at 7 o'clock, let's say, and people can go and vote and then go to work and go shopping, and this voting polling places stay open until the late afternoon. And so they're very convenient, they're very impersonal, and you get a much bigger turnout because of that. The Iowa caucuses require you to bundle up. It's not that cold this year, but it's yesterday it was 4 degrees with wind chill. So, and get in your car and drive to your local precinct where you are registered to vote, and walk in, and there will be all the other people who are attending milling around. If you are not registered to vote or not registered as a Republican, you can go at 6:30. We have same-day registration in Iowa. So Ron Paul, for example, has been asking a lot of independents and disaffected Democrats to vote for him in the Republican caucuses by going and registering themselves as Republicans. And then there's a little bit of recruiting where candidate delegates will say, well, I really think you should vote for, you know, Michelle Bachman, because she's the true Christian conservative, and so on. It doesn't take much of the time, maybe 15, 20 minutes in the Democratic Party, which also has caucuses. It tends to be a longer process. And then the precinct captain in each of the almost 1,800 precincts says it's time to vote for your, you know, choice for president. You can vote for all of these different people or undecided if you want. And then you mark your ballot and you put it in a box, a hat, you know, a cookie tin. Every one of the precincts does it differently.
Yeah.
And then in front of the people who attend this, The votes are counted. The numbers are then called in to the Republican Party headquarters in Des Moines, which enters them into their computer. And when the last caucus has reported its results, which should be actually pretty early because it's not that complicated a process in the Republican Party. The results pop up. The massive international and national news media that is congregated at the convention center in Des Moines then runs around asking analysts to interpret, you know, the tea leaves that have come up. And then there is a front runner. And the top three tend to be the three front runners who are reported as the winners, and then everybody packs up and flies to New Hampshire.
Right.
So, the process requires a great deal more sort of effort, and that's why the turnout is lower than the turnout usually is in primaries.
And I want to ask you about that effort because just a couple of minutes ago we were talking about the undecideds, and you hear this number floating around that 40% of Iowa voters, caucus goers, are undecided. In the caucus room, how does it work that they're up for grabs? Is it just they sit there and one person says, vote for Michelle, she's the top Christian conservative? Or is there a great deal more interplay in caucus rooms for undecided voters to get them to go over to one camp or another than we're used to?
Well, that's a great question, because we saw with Obama and Hillary Clinton during the Democratic caucuses in 2008, for example, or in other years before when there were large numbers of candidates. In the Democratic caucus, the process is much more transparent and much more public and much more cranky, because you do try to create what are called viability groups, and so the caucus chair decides how many people make a viable group for a candidate based on how many people are attending the caucus. And then if you don't meet the viability group, then you have to join one of the other candidates' groups. And it's all done in public. So you see, you know, there are 20 people standing in one corner for, Barack Obama, and, 28 for Hillary Clinton, and then a bunch of others over there for, some other Democrat. In the Republican Party, they don't do that. The Republican Party, it's by secret ballot, and there are some sort of mild efforts at the beginning to remind people to vote for my candidate, but it's not an elaborate process.
Yeah, no
it
real whipping.
No, exactly, and it's not public, and it doesn't take long. So people do have the benefit of a secret ballot. If they don't want to tell their neighbors that they're voting undecided, for example, they vote and put it in the hat, and nobody knows how they voted, and it's a much quicker process.
Stephen Schmidt of Iowa State University and itsafreecountry.org from WNYC. You mentioned the media onslaught, how everybody's going to pack up and fly off to New Hampshire, which of course they will. What's this caucus worth to Iowa, either in dollars or in first-in-the-nation status? Quantify it for me. What's it worth to you guys?
Well, what it is publicity that you couldn't buy no matter how big your budget is, because just yesterday I did Kyoto News. This morning I'm going to be doing a Chinese equivalent of Associated Press. I did Univision. I did CNN en Español, which are the two biggest Hispanic media companies. I did an Italian newspaper. I also did interviews with EFE, which is the largest Spanish language news service out of Spain.
And here I thought we had an exclusive, Stephen Schmidt.
Exactly.
It's worth millions to hotels, really, isn't it?
But you know what? It's worth a lot, but that part is exaggerated. What really is worth a lot is the fact that in almost any place in the world, people know if you say you're from Iowa, they will have heard that that's where the presidential selection process begins. And that is an incredible goodwill value for Iowa's business and Iowa's exports and, a lot of the other things that we do.
Corn, soybeans, and politics, right? That's Stephen Schmidt, professor of political science at Iowa State University and blogger for our co-producer WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org, and it's in Iowa. Stephen, thank you.